Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back in the heat of the summer, and it's burning hell right now, indeed. This is the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, with the most, the king of king himself. And yes, I'm doing the show live in the bathroom, completely naked. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is I, Sean Black, in the building. And apparently, you sound like you've been hacking up your lungs before we got on the air.
Yeah, I'm a little bit underneath the weather today, folks. I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
And I have other phone line, the lovely.
Hello, gentlemen. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes.
You gave me a visual. I'm not gonna have nightmares. I hope you know that.
I think that goes without saying.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right.
Boy.
Before we carry on with the show and have to deal with these two knuckleheads, I'd like to first thank everyone for this great summer of shows so far. Thank you to Anitra B and Sean Black. Ladies and gentlemen, The Absolute Truth have gained over 500 listeners the last few weeks. We've been on fire. I also have to give a shout out to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and other topics that have given us the power. And you know what? Let's continue to do what we do best. Are you guys ready to piss some people off?
Let me think about it.
Of course.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let the heat continues. There's a little bit of story that's been bugging me for a while. I don't know the whole truth about it because, you know, I don't listen to the news that much. But I'm sure Sean will fill us in because he had no life and loved the news. The last few weeks, there's been a story about Howard Beach in Queens, New York, about a female jogger. What's her name, Sean?
You know what? I actually forgot her name, unfortunately. That's the sad part.
Well, she went out jogging. She used to go out jogging in a certain area in a park with her father. But this time, the father could not jog with her because he had back problems or something was wrong with him. So she went out jogging on her own, and unfortunately, she ended up killed. She went jogging around like 5-something in the evening and still daylight outside. Like I said, this happened a few weeks ago. Rodney, what's the big deal? A woman get killed all the time jogging in the park. That's true.
Well, that's definitely not a rosy picture to paint, that's for sure.
No, it's no, but why this became nationwide news? Because the woman is pretty, she's young, white, and happened at Howard Beach. Sean, what is the hype about this female jogger overall? Why is got nationwide attention throughout the country?
I think what you're hitting on is a nerve that a lot of people have kind of quietly talked about. And as Karina Vetrano, as I now that I remember, it's been all over the news everywhere. Basically, the jogger had went out, I guess, along her normal route in Queens. She was beaten. She was raped. The body was dumped along the trail in the area. And I think what we normally hear about when especially in the New York tri-state area, when we hear about something like this happening, the majority of the victims that we've heard that have had this unfortunate thing happen have been white women, either in their teens or like early 20s. This woman was, I believe, 30 years old, and this is something that she normally did she would normally jog. And I believe her father found the body not that far from the jogging from the area in the park. The outrage that I think that you're hitting on is the fact that when you hear, for the most part, about these kinds of incidents, you hear about white women, you might hear of an Italian woman or someone along those lines, but we don't hear about the quote-unquote the minority victims as often. You don't get that, not to say fanfare, that's probably the wrong word to use, you don't get that much media attention. And I think that that's where a lot of people have come in and wondered why there's so much of an outrage when we hear that kind of thing. Now, true, somebody being brutally raped, murdered, and then their body being dumped somewhere, anywhere, that is a disgusting crime. But I think what you're alluding to is the fact that you definitely don't hear as much about African-American victims or Hispanic victims as you do hear about a Caucasian victim that get that kind of media attention. And I think that's where a lot of the outrage has probably been sparked with, as far as not necessarily finding this victim, but the imbalance in reporting when these kinds of instances happen.
Oh, true. I've been on social media, been trending worldwide. The attention I get, that they even set up a GoFundMe account to help catch the suspects of this victim.
Yeah, and I think the last I heard it was up to $200,000 or close to $200,000 the last time I heard the amount.
Think about that. They set up a GoFundMe to help catch the suspect. What about other people that have been raped and gone through that situation? What made this case different from anybody else? Because it's Howard Beach? Because she's white? Because she's young? Because I just don't get it. That the cops, the FBI are involved in this situation? Like, what? Well, she's the president's daughter? But at the same time, I do find the story a little bit fishy. I hope I'm wrong about this in general, but you tell me a lady who decided to go jogging by herself for once, instead with her father, at 5-something, still daylight outside. Normally people, like, if you go jogging 2-3 o'clock in the morning at midnight, and something happened to you, it's technically speaking your fault. At 5-something, no one did not see anything. And how in the world, when the father decided to go out to look for the body, or look for his daughter, I'm assuming, he's the one who found his daughter dead? Do you find that a little bit fishy somewhere?
No, not really. It was a gruesome discovery. I mean, it's sad, but that's why it hit so much media attention, is the fact that it was her father that found him, the fact that it did happen in daylight. It's these little tidbits are why it's getting so much attention. And where it happened, it's a safe area. And then there's the whole fact, that whole Gotti bust. It happened in the same neighborhood. That has a lot to do with it also.
Mm. And the unfortunate fact that it's the father that found the body.
Yeah.
I think you don't necessarily hear
that kind of thing
happen.
That's the big apple is who discovered her. I mean, could you imagine, you know, going down the same path you go down with your daughter every day and you find her body and the way
what,
he
what
found
you
her?
Think of looking, what would make you think to look in the weeds area for looking for your daughter?
Who knows?
Maybe he knew she liked to pee.
There could be a million different reasons. We don't know. But that's why it's getting so much media attention.
It's getting me attention, yes, for those type of reasons, but still, I smell a rat somewhere. I'm just saying, do not be surprised if someone knows something. Somebody got to know something. You tell me, out of nowhere, this person being killed in broad daylight?
You know how many cold cases happen in this country and in the New York tri-state area where you would think the most obvious thing would be what starts it, and it's not the case. If you remember the DeJonbenet Ramsey case, which happened some 20 or so years ago, about the 6-year-old who was in a beauty pageant scene, and she was murdered. And everybody had her murderers pegged as her parents, either the father or the mother had her killed or at least were involved and knew something, and it's been years later, and for the most part, the parents have been exonerated. And to this day, nobody knows who killed this child. So in any event, certain things happen where you would expect it's the obvious choice. Well, this person is a suspect, that person is a suspect, and it happens to be the parent, the father. In this case, mm-hmm. the father found the body, and I think what Hot Rod is alluding to is he has an idea. He thinks that the father may maybe know something or may know about something that's happened, or not necessarily to say he is involved, but maybe he knows something as part of this investigation, trying to quote-unquote read the tea leaves, that he might know somebody or may be within that investigation towards what happened.
Because Anitra, think about it. Anyone could be random attack at any time, yes. But for me, for you to be jogging at a certain time by yourself, I have to be watching you. I mean, I must know you're jogging by yourself. I have an idea that I know where you're going and what's your routine every day. If I see you jogging by yourself, it's like someone has to be watching you. It cannot be just something random just like that. That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree. I mean, there's definitely something more to it than they're alluding.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to the story that we don't know. We don't know if she had any enemies, maybe a boyfriend, a friend, somebody that she knew. Maybe it was a completely, you know, we're discounting the fact that this could be a completely random attack. And also at the same time, as I stated before, from what the question that you alluded to earlier, Hot Rod, as far as the media outrage, outside of the fact that all we know of is the body was found, we know that the father found the body. As you're stating that you think that there's something that's probably missing from the story, I guess as the investigation goes on, we're going to definitely find out a lot more information as it goes forward. But see, then here is where it gets, as you say, a little dicey as far as the media attention goes. As you stated, I've seen this on national news, which is CNN and some of the other national news channels that have covered a lot of this unfortunate story. The question then remains, like we stated earlier, what happens when we find out more information and it's not necessarily what you may think? Maybe there is something extra to the story that we're not, privy to, or maybe that is, as we just stated, it's just a random story. There are going to be a lot of people that we brought up that I stated earlier that are going to think because of who was murdered and what her skin color is, it is getting much more attention than, say, somebody that might have been killed, you know, just to make a hypothetical, somebody that might have been killed in Florida and the body was dumped in the Everglades or something along those lines. You wouldn't hear about that story as prominently as what we're hearing now.
Well, I talk about another media story that you don't hear too much, or we're not hearing the truth. The two Muslim guys that got shot and killed in Queens, coming from a prayer Friday, happened Friday. Two Muslim guys went to go pray the usual afternoon prayer. One guy went after the prayer. One guy went behind him and shot them both. No money was taken, and one of the Muslim guys was carrying cash. And in the news report, the police conference, they said they had no motive for the killing. For the killing.
Mm-hmm.
And we all scratched our heads like, are you freaking kidding me? Muslim? Random person just come up and shoot them? Okay, I'm not no Sherlock Holmes. I'm not a brain surgeon. But apparently you could tell that is a hate crime. But they won't admit that is a hate crime. But it happens the other way around. If Sean Black went up to shot two Jewish people, that would be considered a hate crime right away. And you would see everybody on investigation on that case right now.
But they are investigating that case.
Yes, but they did not say it was a hate crime yet.
I'm saying
they don't
want
to go there because it's too sensitive of a topic.
No, let's tell the truth here. It is a hate crime. Like I said, it was two Jewish people that got killed. They were automatically say it was a hate crime. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know the answer. All I know is I don't know. I myself can't comprehend hating people because of who they are without even knowing who they are. Like, I can't comprehend that. When I look at people, I see a person. I don't see anything. Like, I don't see their skin, you know, the skin color, their nationality, their sexuality, their religion. None of that is a factor to me. So
the
it's mind-boggling
is that
to me.
You're also sane. You know, there are a lot of people that are not that sane and find reasons to hate anybody irregardless. You know
it's
how people find their own prejudices to go against someone irregardless.
Okay. So this is going back to our last topic from last week that sparked a lot of controversy. Was America ever great? What happened? This killer was inspired by Donald Trump's speech about all Muslims are terrorists. How Obama and Hillary sounded.
You know, you're helping Donald Trump's case with that little flipping line.
You know, he went down on the polls.
Yeah, big time.
A huge drop.
Guys,
I'm so happy to see that
this
morning.
I don't care about polls. Polls mean nothing. The day of the election means everything. Polls doesn't mean a damn thing.
Yeah, we still got about 3 months left.
I don't.
So.
Oh yeah.
Hillary could be 70. Donald could be 30. It doesn't mean anything until the day of election when people actually go out and vote.
Yeah.
Totally agree. It was just nice to see those numbers.
Yeah. But
Donald Trump will still be your president of the United States no matter what. And Sean Black will have to eat his hat, and he has to support Donald when that happens.
But to get to your original point, the one thing that they did notice is that the imam that was killed had, I believe, money in his pocket or money in his hand, and the person that is alleged to have killed these two didn't attempt to go after any of the money at all. There was no robbery, because most people, when they're deconstructing a crime, they're looking for what's the motive. Was it a robbery? Was it somebody they knew? Was it something along those lines? And if I'm looking at it, both victims were shot like execution style, and no money was taken, no wallets, no cash, nothing.
It could be beef or a hate crime.
Yeah, and see, this is the definition. I've actually had a discussion about this kind of a topic with a friend of mine just a couple months ago. And what makes something a hate crime and what isn't? I mean, you could easily throw, based on whatever the crime is, and easily call it a hate crime based on that. You know, this white guy hates another white guy, so he killed him. Is that a hate crime? Whereas an African American can get into a fight with another African American and kill that other person because he legitimately hates him. But it's not called a hate crime. But if it comes into play that any crime that happened to somebody in the Jewish faith or somebody that was killed or attacked within the Muslim faith or any other faith that is opposite of the one that or within that would be considered a hate crime. Whereas, let's say, a white person attacked a Jewish person, did some sort of anti-Semitic attack, or that would be considered a hate crime.
Of course it would.
And these are the kinds of things that people are kind of wondering what actually constitutes the hate crime. Because there are a lot of crimes within a race or within a religion, Jewish on Jewish or black on black or white on white. And those are not considered hate crimes at all. So that begs to differ. Is it a hate crime or is it a racial indifference crime? And how can you manage that intent based on what actually happened? that's kind of the interesting thing that was brought up when I had the conversation with my friend.
Okay, that's a good point, but the media doesn't want to hear that. They want to hear the race card and turn it into a hate crime, no matter what.
Of course.
And it sparks conversation. If you think
like
about
Anitra
it.
Like Anitra would say, it's what sells.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if
money makes the world go round.
Yeah. Like if we remember a long time ago in New York, we remember the African American boy that was killed in Crown Heights. I think it was in 1990. And that whole incident sparked so much racial tension. And a lot of people were wondering, well, is that a hate crime, and what is that going to bring up? At the time, I was actually in Detroit for the summer. So I found out about that while I was in Detroit, and that was national news. It was all over CNN and all over the cable news networks and everything else back then. So you can imagine something like that happening, it brings the attention to that crime, as opposed to what people would call a crime you would see on an episode of Cops, where no one would really look at it or it wouldn't resonate throughout the community the way a quote-unquote a hate crime would in the eyes of the media. And that's what the news looks at, the cable networks look at, to bring attention to their channels. And although it is an important story, there are definitely other stories and other crimes that probably need to be brought attention to that aren't, because other things dominate the news.
Oh, yeah, if it's boring, it's not going to sell.
Okay,
that's really what it is at the end of the day. They want people to watch their show. No controversy, no one's going to watch it.
But people love negative. But besides that, going back to the jogger, Anitra,
mm-hmm.
How do you feel when they say it's always a woman's fault for jogging at a certain time of night, or not jogging with someone, or in general, she always has to need to protect herself? How do you feel when you hear statements like that about female joggers?
I don't think it's the woman's fault. I mean, you don't ask to be attacked, but I think that as a woman that I do jog by myself, I'm smart about it. I wouldn't go jog in a park by myself at night. I wouldn't go, even if it's 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, if it's desolate, if there's no one there, I would not be there by myself. Like, certain things, you need common sense. The time of day is irrelevant to me. Things happen at all hours of the day or night. People get attacked at 10 o'clock in the morning, the same way people get attacked at 3 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon.
They
have to be smart.
Let's not forget the famous Central Park jogger. I know Sean knows that very
scary.
Well.
That was scary. When that was in the news, that was scary.
Yeah.
And that happened in daytime, and
mm-hmm.
5 black men were accused. And the reason why it was national headline, because it was 5 black men.
Exactly.
We made difference if it was 5 white men. We would hear so much about it even to this day. If that was the case, Sean?
Of course not. It would get media attention just because of how brutal the attack was. And the victim, if you look at it, she had the strength eventually to come out and show everybody who she was, because she, being the rape victim, the attack victim, she had to come out and show the strength that she had, that I'm not going to hide anymore from it. But the problem in the whole situation was that the 5 African Americans that were put into this and were initially charged with this rape, it changed all of their lives. And in the eyes of the media and in the eyes of America, they were basically looked at as animals. And you wouldn't have gotten anywhere near that attention if the polarizing part of that entire case was the fact that this was a white victim and African-Americans, teenagers at the time, because I believe all of them, I think the oldest one of the five was maybe 16 or 17, I think. And when you have all of the things that were going, especially at that time, where African-Americans and minorities in general weren't looked at in such the strongest of light when it came to crime, the slightest intimation that an African-American or Hispanic or anybody that was a minority was in the middle of doing such a heinous crime, that definitely did not help the situation as far as the way America looked at that race or looked at the way that that happened. And it polarized the nation for a very long time.
And the end result, were they found guilty or not guilty?
They eventually were found innocent, and because from what I remember, they did a documentary not that long ago on public television how that the, I believe, the person that initially did the rape finally confessed. But the problem is when you have the stigma of a rape on you, that follows you even if you're innocent. So a lot of those kids had to deal with that. Some of them did jail time. Some of them ended up becoming, going into becoming, you know, into the criminal element based on the fact, well, I'm a criminal. I'm looked at as a criminal. I'm not going to get a fair shake. I know a couple of them have moved out of the area because they just couldn't live in the New York City area because of all of the stigma. So when we see these kinds of stories happen, they can change lives for the worst, especially if all the information in the investigation isn't done the right way, it can ruin lives. And there's much more to lose if you are a minority when you're already starting off in the eyes of the world on the wrong foot, having a different skin color and having the stigma and also having a lot of the disadvantages that looked at in the eyes of a lot of people trying to go farther in the world. When you have that on you, you already have both feet in mud, and you're just not going to get that pulley to get you out.
All right. We got K-Dog on the line now. K-Dog.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Hey, what's
How's
going
everybody
on?
Doing?
Hey, good evening.
What's on your mind? So, because I have another caller, I have to get to the next topic. So, go ahead,
okay. Well, in response to what Sean said about the whole crime statistic that's been going on, especially with the fact that this young girl was killed, it's a crime is a crime. But I'm glad that you brought up that topic about the Central Park Five, because from what I remember is that from the very beginning that these five young guys were coerced by the police department to confess by telling them, oh, if you confess, we'll let you go home. But they didn't do that. Instead, these five guys' lives were ruined, were forever changed because of the time they spent in jail. And even though they were found innocent, the label rapist is still being pointed right at them. And they can, you know, it's something that they're not going to be able to shake off. And it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
I
got to
say about it.
Max?
Yeah. Yo, good evening, everybody.
Hey, what's going
hello,
on?
Hello, hello.
All right.
Hey, what's up, Max?
Right here.
You could talk,
oh,
Max.
Well, I'm talking for that topic about the abusive relationship. That's what I spoke
about. Oh, yeah. We get to that next. That's what you want to talk about?
That's what I spoke for.
Okay. For me, for for me in 2 minutes, and I will get back to you right away.
Sure.
All right, so, yeah, that's about the jogger. I lost track of what I was about to say.
Well, to be fair, the hot rod is a little bit under the weather getting over his serious state of sickness. So.
Yeah, I've been sober for a whole weekend. But other than that, you know what? Let's go to the abusive relationship. Why do people stay in abusive relationship? The reason why I want to talk about this, I know this is going to be a topic that we're going to be talking about again and again and again. Quick story that I was sending out to Max right away. I had a female coworker a few weeks ago that I heard from another person how she would come to work with a black eye and other marks on her body. Of course, it's a cover-up. This lady is almost 50 years old, dating a guy who's basically, let's say, he's a loser, he's a drug addict, who will hit her from time to time, rob from her daughters, live in with them. And it's like, okay, you know, and my other coworker told her, you know what to do. Kick him out. Get him to leave. Oh, and you know, the usual story. No, he promised to change, to get better, and you know, he does change and get better. Basically, we all know the end result of the story, and we hear it millions and millions of times. So we all know friends who've been through this type of relationship, whether abusive, physical, sexual, emotional relationships. Some of us may have been in that type of relationship before. The bottom line, in the general picture, starting with Max, why do people stay in an abusive relationship overall? Max?
Oh, like I told you before, because they are victims themselves. They're abused. They're not healthy.
What do you mean victims and not healthy?
They're not healthy to the point where they're mentally not healthy. They have problems of their own. So being in a relationship that's abusive is common to them. It's regular. They have no option.
Common.
It's common. It's like it's nothing to them. They didn't see it as abusive. They just see it as a regular thing. To us, it's like, what the hell are you doing? And to them, they're like, oh, that's okay. I could deal with that. Because they have little options. They have little respect towards themselves, and they've been abusive themselves as well. They're immune to that.
Anitra, you're the female in this relationship, so what do you think?
Yes. Some women, they feel trapped. They believe, a lot of women believe what the guy says, that they can't do without them, they can't move on, especially if there's children involved. I mean, a lot of people think it's really, really easy just to pick up and go, and it's not easy. I mean, especially when you don't know what's out there.
But the reason why I brought her story up is not like she's 20. She's 40-something. She's been married, been all that. So you kind of, are you a little too old?
You know what it is when it comes
thing?
To abusive relationships is that, you know, what you're dealing with, you think it's going to get better, but then it gets a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
Whether it's in a, like, let's just say, verbally abusive relationships. And verbally abusive relationships are just as bad. I mean, you're constantly putting the person down and constantly getting at that person for whatever reason.
Sean?
Well, we seem to have a generations and generations and generations of women who, from when they're young girls, see how daddy treats mom, or how on television you see the father saying to the mother, okay, cook, clean, do this, do that. That becomes the normal cycle. As the female gets older, it becomes normal for them to have the boys as teenagers kind of yelling back and forth and treating them in a certain way. And then they get into their first relationship, and it's the same thing. It becomes ingrained in them that this is normal. This is the way men are. This is the way men are supposed to be. And you're supposed to do the quote-unquote, that barefoot and pregnant garbage that they used to have women do back in the 50s and the 60s and in the 70s. What ends up happening is as a female gets older and she's around that 24/7, 365, that becomes the normal for her. And she's looking for somebody that is going to not necessarily treat her in that same way, but hope that the next person that she gets with is going to be the complete opposite. He's got to treat them a certain way. Has to know what he's looking for. Has to be well in what he's going to be doing. And what I think ends up happening is that when the person that is in the abusive relationship wants to leave that relationship, when they are in a new relationship, they are almost expecting the new relationship to actually end up like the old relationship. So what ends up happening is, in certain instances and in a lot of instances, they shoot down the new relationship and sabotage it with some of the baggage that they had from the previous, expecting that same thing to happen. And that's where that cycle continues.
Sean talked like he came from experience from this boy.
Well,
there's nothing to joke about, really. There's different forms.
No,
there's different stages of relationships.
Yeah.
Different stages. You guys are talking about the traditional abusive relationship. There's women being abusive towards the men as well, as being like the career woman that's making six-figure salary, dealing with a guy that's making $20,000 to $30,000 a year, minimum wage, whatever the case is, and he's being put down every freaking minute, left in and left right, day by day. And then he stays with her only because he has nowhere else to go. She keeps him because she likes that empowerment. There's the performance.
Isn't that the guy's choice to stay? Isn't that the guy's choice overall? I know
you know
like that.
Just like the abusive woman, he has the same thing. He has nowhere else to go.
Well, let me interrupt for a few. You know, the reason why there's been a lot of these kind of relationships, and you know what? You have to look at it in both ways. You have to look at the background of why someone would want to endure that kind of abuse from the significant other. This is the thing. It comes from childhood, like some studies show. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. When a woman chooses to stay in an abusive relationship, whether it is physical or verbal, it is because maybe due to the fact that they grew up without a strong male role model in their life. Because I've heard of this.
That is not always the case.
Listen, I'm not finished yet. I'm just saying what people are saying in general. But the problem that, from my standpoint, because I've seen someone who stayed in an abusive relationship due to the fact that, oh, well, she had a habit of saying, oh, he'll change. And by what you said, Max, and I'll repeat it, like, oh, I have nowhere else to go. What do you mean you have nowhere else to go? You can do better. But it's up to you to want to do better. Would you rather stay in a relationship where the person's knocking you down both physically and mentally? You shouldn't have to. It's up to the person.
Rodney, let me ask you something. That woman, your coworker, she's like 20-something years old, right?
No, 50. That's the thing. No, she's close 50.
Close to 50.
Yeah.
Is she like the financial stability? She has the finance?
I'm not going to lie, not to go too much about the details. No, she's struggling.
Wait a minute.
So he's like the financial provider then?
No, he's not. That's the thing. He's a heroin addict.
Wait, he's a junkie. Whose house is he staying in? Her house, right?
He's staying at her house.
Yeah, that
she could kick him out.
It doesn't have to be by money, Rodney. It still be by living arrangement. She's the one that
has the bread. She's not making six figures.
Doesn't matter.
But
you can't go by just the money either. You gotta go by living.
Hold on. Let me listen to Max first.
All right.
She gotta go by. It's not only about money, guys. It's about living expense, about ownership, about property, everything else. Even if it's about family, she has more family, and he has no family to go to. He's staying with her.
Okay, but Max, to go back to your original statement, and I think Alicia told me this last week. It's about control, and people are scared overall to leave the relationship.
To these men and women, when it's good, it's great. They feel loved. They feel safe. They feel at home. They're home. And when it's that, it's kind of like going, what's that saying? Everyone says going 0 to 100 quick. I guess. It's like that. There's no middle. It either gets really, really bad really, really quick, or it's good and it stays good. And for a lot of situations, it stays good for a really long time. And so something small triggers it. For either way, it could be the abuse of male or woman, and then it gets really, really bad. But the only thing they hold on to is what's really good about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't want to see
that
he or she, because they're abusive women as much as they're abusive men. You know, it goes
yes,
to the coin.
Are.
It's on
yes,
either end of the coin.
Oh, it definitely goes both ways, yeah.
It goes both ways.
They don't want to see that the man or woman that they love, that they're giving themselves to, their lives to, can do this to them.
Okay, so it should be, if I slap you right now, what you would do to me?
Oh, I'll call the cops. Fuck you.
Okay. Exactly.
You will remember me. Let me explain something to you.
So
I could smack you back. But you know
what?
That punch will last for like an hour. I call the police. Oh, honey, you'll remember me for the rest of your fucking life.
Well, will you be afraid for your life? Like most females are afraid. Most guys are afraid.
You know what it is when it comes
to... Yeah,
it is.
It's scary. Of course it's scary. Violence is scary.
To answer the thing about power, this is my take on it, and I'll just say this. If a man can use a fist to a woman, it certifies that you are nothing but a punk. You have no manhood in you. Because, listen, you know what? It doesn't matter what size a man is. When you punch a woman, believe it or not, it leaves a print. Does it make you better? No, it doesn't. I still label you as a punk, as a coward. And... a woman who does, and for a woman who sits there and puts and needs to put a man down, that means you have a very low self-esteem. You have a very low level of self-esteem about yourself. If it makes you feel good to put somebody else down.
All right, Brother B.
Brother
B, are you there? Hello, 930.
Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, no, Jeanette. Oh, excuse me.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, what's up,
good evening. Yeah. What's going on, everyone?
Okay, so, Milton X, what is your issue today? Because you like to abuse me every week. You're my abusive partner.
Well, listen, I haven't even begun to abuse you yet, so don't even worry about it.
Oh, damn.
It's for your own good, so it's good.
Okay, so why are most people are still in an abusive relationship?
Well,
please don't tell me it's a black and white thing.
Well, certainly, I'll start off like this. People who stay in abusive relationships obviously have self-esteem issues within themselves. As you know, if you're obviously putting up with disrespect, physical and mental abuse, you feel like you're not worthy of being treated good in a certain sort of way. So you accept it. Or you say, I must have did something wrong for this person that I love to hurt me like that. Understand? Even though, in a lot of ways, it's probably the opposite. The abuser probably has that same mentality also. Because a lot of times these people have been abusers when at one point abused themselves. As the saying goes, hurt people hurt people. So I think it's come down from that standpoint. Also, there's a lack of what we call conflict resolution, in that people get in arguments and instead of talking it out and being mature and saying, okay, let's see who comes to a compromise, they just start fighting. They don't know how to resolve conflict or be emotional, but yet have respect for someone else also.
I think we've all seen that at least once in
that.
Our lives with
true.
People.
You know what? For one, Milton, I agree with that part, because I think we all see arguments. But what about the situations, Milton, when a guy tried to walk away from an argument that we discussed last week, but the woman continued
right.
to push the guy, and come to a point that the guy can't take it no more. Yes, he may be wrong for hitting her, but she kept pushing the button over and over again. What do you think about that?
That's not a man.
That's not a man.
You know what I'm saying?
A man don't do that. A man don't come back and hit the woman. They walk
away. Let me just say this. If the woman is cursing at you and getting at you, you know what? You walk away from that, you're going to be more of a man than anything.
Let's be honest. We all have a breaking
point, though.
You know, but this is the thing. What I understand is, why would you tolerate some woman cursing at you? Just cut her off and get you another one.
No, you know what? My thing is this. When you're in an argument with somebody and you see it's getting intense, you know what? If you're man enough to walk away from it, congratulations. You're still
and
a man.
And not even that, because, you know, let's be honest about something. If you get in an argument with a woman anyway, you're not going to win that shit.
Exactly.
Right.
This is a lose
situation. Right. So you might as well just end this shit and do what the hell you want to do anyway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, when it comes to arguments, women ain't logical. You know what I'm saying? They're emotional.
Let me be honest.
So I understand the correlation. You know what I'm saying? I know what you're talking about, Alicia, because there's a lot of dudes out here who've been raised by women who have feminine traits. So I understand where you're coming from that. However, real hardcore, you know, nuts and bolts type of guy ain't emotional like that. You know what I'm saying?
So, like I was saying,
you're going to bring facts to argument. You can bring all kinds of facts to argument with a woman. She thinks you're wrong, you're wrong. So there's no point in really getting into it with her like that. So it shouldn't even be that type of conflict. And she acting all crazy like that, and you probably need to reassess and say, do I really need to be with a woman in the first place and find you an alternative?
Sean?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also, as far as certain arguments go, my uncle told me that there was a saying that he used to say that in certain arguments, women don't get hysterical, they get historical. In the fact that when, as I remember saying before, if you're getting into an argument or a dispute, it makes sense to be fair. But if you're going, certain people, male and female, when they get into arguments and emotions are involved, both male and female a lot of times don't quote unquote play fair.
Yeah.
So they let the emotions take over the argument, and if you have that precursor there, that if you're already in an already abusive relationship and you're hell bent on trying to win the argument, that's one of those things that's going to happen. So what you should do is remove yourself from the situation. A lot of times we've seen a lot of relationships, a lot of people get into arguments, and it can be over money, it can be over jealousy, it can be over a perceived slight. Any number of factors can happen. But if a person has already been hurt in the past, they're going to take that as a trigger and then go into defense mode. And that usually tends to be the case.
All right, so to Max, because you're the educator around here, what do you think is the best way for people to handle these type of situations?
Wow, you put me up there like that? Come on, V.
Because, Max, you feel like it is, and you say education is always the key, right? So here you are. This is your chance to educate us. Tell her it is.
Well, listen, I'm not saying it's the fact, but this from my – well, from what I've been taught, I say it like this. To be fair, if a woman – get to a point, like Sean says, when they're going to go hysterical, just get up, don't say a word. Look, I'll stay in a calm, cool manner. Look, I'll be right back. I see that I triggered something. And if she's still trying to block you, you pick up the phone and call the cops. And then you just sit there, and if each time she tries to touch you, hey, she gets abducted. She's going to get in trouble. When the cops come, it's all hell on her side now. She's in trouble.
Okay.
Now, if she listens, but you can't show emotion. A man cannot show emotion.
Yes, I agree with that. Because a man's going to lose the emotional game.
They're going to lose.
You know what I'm saying?
They have to remain resilient.
Women are the heavyweight champ when it comes to emotions. That's a thing.
Oh, yeah. And you also have to remember, males aren't taught how to deal with emotions because, especially if you have parents or grandparents that have raised kids from, say, the 70s and even the early 80s, they're taught based on what they learned, which is male shows no weakness, male shows no emotions, don't cry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when they have to deal with something where there's a conflict between someone of the opposite sex in a relationship or anybody in a relationship, and they're not able to emotionally deal with what they're dealing with, you tend to have these outbursts of violence and rage. And those are the kinds of issues that happen today because they're not taught how to deal with them when they're younger.
Okay. All right, guys.
Exactly.
All right, guys. I have to go to another question because we have to wrap it up soon. And this question is going out to – we will talk about this topic again soon because it's not going away no time soon. But to Milton X.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem of the black athletes winning any Olympic medals? Because you post something on Facebook that, you know, why we are celebrating black people winning gold medals and silver medals at the same time America hate us?
I even go deeper into it. It's a whole thing that, you know, why we representing the country that disrespects us. You know what I'm saying? And this is just in America. This is worldwide with this shit. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, here we are. We out here protesting this, that, and the third. We out here getting abused, not just now, but historically. But yet, in Olympic time, we run around here with America on our chest, or any other country for that matter, that they're disrespectful. But there's other ones out here. Taking the point, the sisters from Brazil, who won, I think it was a judo tournament or something like that, in 2012, right? She lost in London. They caught all types of monkeys and dogs and all types of racial insults and shit. And she mentioned it in the press conference. And then she come back to 2016 and won. And now I'm saying people was out here cheering for her and shit. What kind of bullshit is that? Like, you out here trying to do your best and you can get racially insulted? And then I'm supposed to come back and represent you again? Fuck that shit. You know what I mean? And it's not just the Olympics. It's the whole thing of how we as black people, we always turn the other cheek, right? We always, you know, we just smile and grin, take it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, we just take it so much and go on and smile and put our heads up high over the bullshit. And when we get smacked in the face, we can turn our other cheek and smack in the face again.
All right, Milton,
I'll be like,
damn. We got a new caller, 493, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Mr. Research, caller from California. I just came in the last minute to say this. You know, with everything was said, it's kind of unfortunate that we're in a situation where the honorable people are not respected. The people who stand for what they say they believe are not respected. And we keep having to accommodate for people who are trying to use other people. So it's like no matter whether it's a business, no matter whether it's a relationship or even a friendship, we got people out here who are opportunists now. And we've made it where we used to be warriors. It used to be about what do you stand for and blah, blah, blah. Now we've made it so easy for the cowards that the cowards come in and they just use the warrior to their advantage and then run back to being cowards. So it's unfortunate. We got to start protecting ourselves and not being so understanding. So that's that. I just wanted to come in and say that it's a different time now.
So what can we do about it now, in your opinion?
Self-preservation. That's all we got left because unfortunately.
Exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was on a show. I was talking about the police thing and guys shooting and whatever, and I was talking with some police officers. And I said, look, you guys are doing your job, but here's the problem. you're not strong enough to say, hey, captain, why are you telling me to just arrest folks? And the captain will tell you because the city council is telling me they need cases. Well, why does the city council need cases? Because they promised these private jails during the Clinton time that they're going to give them guaranteed occupancy. Well, why are we giving them guaranteed occupancy? That didn't happen to our fathers and uncles back in the day. Well, since Clinton passed that law, the crime bill. Since he passed the crime bill, cities and counties have figured out that they can extort the people. This is why you arrest cats and you take a city ordinance. Driving is a city ordinance. It's not a real crime. You know, so back in the day, you used to get taken for no license and your car used to get left on the side of the road. Now they want to tow your car so they can extort money out of you after you've been released. So my point is we've made it so easy for these cowards to do stuff, or even a relationship. A lady says she wants an honorable man. Well, why do you keep picking the dude who obviously got 10 chicks pregnant already? You got to do
it.
You say, why do these women?
It's because honorable guy will tell her no, and she don't want to hear that shit.
You got the guys who say, hey, man, I'm just trying to find a loyal chick. Well, why are you pumping and dumping every chick that you meet? As if you want,
the hole's got it popping.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Preach on.
Preach.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Wow. All right, guys. We got 3 minutes left. Anybody want to say final point before we say goodbye?
Yeah, look, you're crazy, man.
I know. Certified. Hey.
What the heck you talking about? Might as well not cheer for sports in general, then.
Hey, listen, man.
If you
we got
say about
Olympics, for
might as well say the same thing about sports.
Listen,
you know
listen.
What?
And
at the
you
end
know
end
what?
Of the you
day,
know what? Matt's have a good point about that, Milton. What?
What
about sports in general? Baseball, football.
Listen, we work for players all the time. And in general, we always got the man on top of us. You know what I'm saying? So it's
don't
like,
you think that
it's
mentally helpful for these athletes to do this, to just get their mind off of the situation that's going out there?
Listen, we all going to have to sacrifice something. All of us. You know what I'm saying? Muhammad Ali had to sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying? Well, we're going to do this way.
Can I say something about this? Hold up.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Well, guys, we will continue this next week. I have to hang up.
We will continue. All right, later.
Thank you
bro.
So much, guys.
Peace.
I'm ready.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
You're
all
welcome.
Right. Night.
Thank you.
Night.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a crazy show we just had tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I'm dying. Tune in next week to another crazy show of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, the Hot Rod with...
Sean Black and...
Oh, she hung up already.
Oh, of course.
She couldn't take this abuse anymore. Well,
yeah, it was a great show today, too.
Tonight was a great show, guys, once again. The caller, 512, thank you, guys. Max, K-Dog, Milton X, all you guys, thank you so much for making the show very interesting. Like I said, Sean Black, the show has been hot, and let the heat continue. Maybe we might be back on next week. I'm not too sure, but we will let you know, all right? Good night, everyone. And as always, the pleasure was all
yours.
So... I'm naked in the bathroom right now, but I'm still naked and sweating.
Ugh, you should be used to that by now.
Yeah, but at least I'm sweating the fat off, you know?
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. All right, good night.
Good night.